host, Renee Kranz. On today's show, we are going to talk to Bishop Donald DeGroode about his beloved Uncle Donnie, who, if you know him at all, you maybe have heard him talk about Uncle Donnie, especially in his homilies. We're going to talk about him and about our older parishioners and how they can be prayer warriors for the rest of us and how they play a part in missionary discipleship. First, we have the lovely Dr. B.
A lovely.
Yes, I'm going to have some biblical bites indeed with Dr. B.
So, today's
Renee.
Gospel reading, Renee. Do you remember what I said a couple weeks ago? It was last week. A couple weeks ago, I talked about how the first reading in the psalm usually corresponds somehow to the gospel.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So we definitely see that pretty clearly in this Sunday's readings, the first reading from Isaiah and the gospel from the psalm. I'll just refresh your memory for you.
Yes, please.
So the gospel, another one of the parables involving banquets from Matthew, the latter chapters of Matthew's gospel. So this is the one where Jesus tells this parable of how the kingdom of heaven may be likened to a king who gave a wedding feast for his son, sent servants out, but they didn't come, sends them out again, and then some ignored the invitation. Others laid hold of his servants, mistreated and killed them. Can you imagine, you know, like, hey, come to the wedding. Come here.
That is just, I don't get it.
So the king was enraged, sent his troops, destroyed those murders, and burned their city. So there, that'll show you.
That's why we don't do that now.
Then he said to his servants, the feast is ready, but those who were invited were not worthy to come. Go out therefore into the main roads and invite to the feast whomever you find. The first servants went out into the streets and gathered all they found, bad and good alike, and the hall was filled with guests. Okay, so keep that in the back of your mind. Okay. When we back up to the first reading, Isaiah 25 begins this way. On this mountain, pop quiz, Renee, what mountain would that be? Would you guess?
Sinai?
Sinai.
Ooh,
good
Bill.
Guesses, both of you, but wrong. Jerusalem. Jerusalem. Good. That was an excellent guess. Don't feel badly. It's okay.
I'm just glad you're as dumb as me, Bill.
Anytime.
Dumb and Dumber is a movie. On this mountain, the Lord of hosts will provide for all peoples a feast of rich food and choice wines, juicy, rich food and pure choice wines. On this mountain, he will destroy the veil that veils all peoples and the web that is woven over all nations. He will destroy death forever. The Lord God will wipe away the tears from every face.
That was the psalm.
That's Isaiah.
Okay. Oh, Isaiah
25, first mm-hmm. reading. Sorry. All peoples, all nations, every face. So let's bring those two together. For the people of Israel, the Old Testament is about who? Well, actually, for us too. Who's the old covenant with?
The Jews.
The Jews. The Israelites, generally the Jews. Okay, so in the gospel, starting with Isaiah, what Isaiah is telling us is at some point here on Jerusalem, the Lord will invite not just the tribes of Israel, not just the tribe of Judah, the Jews, not just all the tribes of Israel, but all peoples will be invited to take part in a banquet involving choice. I love the imagery.
It just juicy food.
Yeah, not juicy fruit. That's a gum.
I meant
a feast of rich food and choice wines, juicy, rich food and pure choice wines. The Lord will invite all peoples to this feast involving juicy, rich food and pure choice wines. What does that perhaps remind you of, Renee? What's a banquet where there's the best, the most amazing food, including wine?
Usually a wedding feast. Is that what you're getting at?
No, but good try.
Bill, help me.
A banquet where people are eating.
I was going to say the royal fork.
So the Eucharist, the Mass is really where I was going.
Okay.
Guys.
We were way off. Sorry.
But the thing I want to emphasize, though, forget about the banquet for a minute. All peoples will be invited, not just the people of Judea, not just the Israelites, but all peoples. And then we fast forward to the gospel. Jesus is saying that the kingdom of heaven is like this whole parable that he gives where the servants are killed. Mm-hmm. So what's that talking about? Well, time and time again in the Old Testament, the Lord sent prophets to his people and they were mistreated. They were beat. So, you know, that silly thing where the people were sent and they get beat up. Like, who beats up the wedding inviters? Inviters. Exactly. That's the technical term in the Hebrew, wedding inviters.
This is going well.
Well, the Israelites did that.
Yes.
They did it all the time. And frankly, today, you and I, we don't always like it when there are people speaking prophetically to us, challenging us. Right? In fact, we may talk about that next week.
Maybe, yes.
How we don't like it when people challenge us and afflict the comfortable, as they say. The same thing happened. That's what Jesus is talking about here. The prophets were often mistreated, some of them even killed by their fellow Israelites because they didn't like the message. So what's the Lord's response? Okay. This is the plan from the beginning. It's important to realize God's plan was to invite all peoples, but it's at this point that this is going to happen. I just want to underline one more thing about the parable. The king was enraged and sent his troops, destroyed those murderers, and burned their city. He burned their city. What city might that be?
I'm afraid to...
I know.
Answer. So just Jerusalem?
Yes! Yes! Johnny, we have a winner.
Come on.
Sorry, Bill.
Jerusalem was burned 40-ish years after Jesus died on the cross. So this is, in a sense, a foretelling of what would happen in Jerusalem. Oh, okay. But more importantly, it's a foretelling of the opening of God's blessing, God's family, his people, to not just the nation of Israel, but to all nations. Again, the language of the first reading, Isaiah 25, all peoples, all nations, every face will be invited to this mountain. So Jerusalem is where salvation came from when Jesus died on the cross. That's where the first mass was celebrated. Mm-hmm. That rich, choice food and wine was celebrated there. And now it's open for all peoples, Jews and Gentiles alike.
Thanks so much for explaining that, Dr. B.
You bet.
All right, today in the studio, I have Bishop Donald DeGroote, our favorite bishop. I guess he's our only bishop. But he's also our favorite bishop.
You're stuck with me.
So he is on the show today to talk about his wonderful late uncle, Donnie. And we're going to talk about how our older parishioners in our diocese are our prayer warriors. So first, Bishop, will you lead us in a quick prayer?
Happy to do that.
All right.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the many, many graces and blessings you give us in our life. We thank you for the gift to receive your own life within us, that is, the beautiful gifts of grace, the beautiful supernatural virtues, which help us to live out of a place of profound love and spiritual giftedness, to be shared with you, to be shared with others, and to know how much we ourselves are loved. I just pray your blessing upon our time together today in this conversation, this sharing of a person in my life who's had such a beautiful impact and the sense I've had in my heart for all of our good faithful in the diocese, especially those called to intercessory prayer. We ask this in the holy name of Jesus, who is Lord forever and ever. Amen.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you. So, by the time this airs, most of us will have received the October Bishop's Bulletin in the mail. So if you haven't read it yet, the bishop talks in his column a bit about his Uncle Donnie, but I wanted to kind of talk about him. I'll let you have a chance to talk about him a little bit more because I know he had a big influence on your life. So will you just tell us a little bit about him?
Yeah. So my Uncle Donnie is the only boy in my mother's side of the family.
Okay.
And when he was born, as if I understand correctly, there was something that happened and they diagnosed it as cerebral palsy, but basically it disabled him from his neck down all of his life.
Okay.
So his arms and legs were spastic. He couldn't ever, you know, get out of bed by himself, go to the bathroom. He couldn't basically eat. He couldn't do anything. Eventually got him to drink out of a sucker cup, you know,
and
they finally taught him how to do that to be able to drink.
Right.
But of course he didn't have, you know, like nowadays there's so many more wonderful things for all those with disabilities of, you know, wheelchairs that, you know, can move with your eyes and all those kinds of things. But anyways, he was so extremely limited. And yet part of the reason he had such an incredible impact on my life is because his relationship with God, particularly through our Blessed Mother Mary. And we were blessed to have him come to our home from time to time. You know, he'd come for like a little summer vacation when we were home or a weekend or whatever it might be. And, you know, my mother was obviously the one who did the primary work tending to him. But we each, at different times of our life, we each had different responsibilities. And me being the fourth of the five boys, the older boys, the three older ones were often the ones to go out onto the farm and to do the bigger, heavier work. And I was to be with Donnie and tend to him and hang out with him. And so I had lots of time, in a sense, at the feet of Donnie.
Right.
Feeding him, pushing him around in the wheelchair, places he wanted to go, just visiting. And what I discovered in my Uncle Donnie was, you know, he was even a little bit hard to understand. So he had to try to, he'd just say simple words like goo, which was a name for one of my aunts, and ma was for my grandma. Joe was for my mother, Joanne. But the point being, it was just, you know, very simple little things. But when I looked into his eyes, I could see that there was deep things there.
Okay.
Even as a little kid. And the other thing that so struck me, and so he would pray and pray and pray. So as an example, we'd get him up in the morning, whatever time that was, he'd get cleaned up. He'd have a protein shake for breakfast. And then he'd say rosary, and we'd get the old beaded rosary and put it around his neck. And then and back in our day, the old record player, you know. And that rosary would pray over and over and over again, just keep playing until it was dinner time. So literally probably 3 hours or more. Now, granted to say he wasn't distracted, didn't fall asleep during some of that time, but that was certainly part of his experience. But so that was impactful. But then in addition to that, if we really needed something, we would ask Donnie to pray, because it wasn't just like, you know, let's give Donnie something to do.
Right.
It was, Donnie, we really need rain. You know, we're really struggling on the farm. We have this wedding coming up. We really ask you to pray for good weather, right? So when we really needed something, we'd go to Donnie, and it was very fascinating to see the effects of his prayer. His prayer was very, very, very powerful. And even in my own life, when I'd ask for something that I needed, and that's what's left such a deep imprint in my heart. But there'd be times, even when he's over, you know, he'd be in bed before we get him up, and I could, we could hear him praying in bed. So it wasn't just, you know, he just had an incredible love for our Blessed Mother Mary, and prayed and prayed and prayed.
Where did he learn that from, do you think?
Certainly my grandmother, I suspect.
Okay.
She was especially the caretaker, because Grandpa was out on the farm.
Sure.
You know, so I assume it was probably my grandmother. And Mary was always important to them. And I, you know, I didn't really get to know my grandmother that well, because when I was about six, she had a very severe stroke, which then just changed everything in her life. So, but Donnie was certainly one of the happiest people I knew in my life growing up. And that really made me think, because here's a guy, incredible disabilities, but filled with so much joy. Why? Because he had God.
Yeah. So what kind of, how did he influence your path in life? I mean, obviously you became a priest, so how did he influence that?
Yeah, well, we're blessed in my family to have three aunts who discerned religious life. And so there was a lot of presence of religious, the importance of faith was very strong. So certainly all of that, Donnie had that, of course, as well. But seeing his faith, you know, when he'd get an opportunity to go to church and receive Holy Communion, it was amazing how much he longed for that. And most of the time he couldn't go.
I suppose they didn't bring it to the house then, did they?
Back in those days, it wasn't, because a priest, you go to Mass. And so only, you know, maybe near the end, maybe it started to happen. I don't remember that detail, but... But anyways, it's a fun story. But you know, Donnie once said to me, when I was out pushing him around the wheelchair, I took him down by the creek on the farm, and he had that look in his eye like, "Oh, this is what I got to listen to." And he just said very, very simply, "I want to be a priest. I can't be a priest. You be a priest. I pray you be a priest."
Wow.
And I knew the power of Donnie's prayers. So
Were you a little scared right
then?
Well,
of course I was. That certainly was both beautifully unsettling, but also a beautiful confirmation, I suspect, at the time. I can't say that I remember specifically enough, of the graces God had already been putting in my heart and had been stirring within me. And so, you know, God bless him. He continues to be the one I turn to when I really need something. And my dad, for those who've gone before us, two of the people. My dad died 17 years ago, also very simple, humble farmer, and but yet he kept that rosary right in his front pocket in the bib overalls. So Mary has been and is and continues to be just such a gift in my life and their witnesses, and using this example of Donnie. But Donnie was a prayer warrior. Mm-hmm. He was, if you will, what you'll see in the bulletin, really an intercessor, right? Mm-hmm. So he came to understand his vocation was to be that, to pray for others.
Yeah.
And so this has been stirring so deeply in my heart of all the good people of God who maybe be wondering, what's my vocation? Let's say circumstances change in their life. Let's say they have a stroke, or maybe they have a disability like my Uncle Donnie. Maybe they're at home now and with COVID and they can't get out and they're concerned about that because they might have underlying conditions, age.
And they might be all alone.
And they might be all alone. Yeah. And we say, what's my purpose? Why does God keep me here anymore, right? I mean, all those kinds of typical questions I suspect we'll all face at some point. But I just know, and God's placing in my heart, the strong spiritual desire to help people understand the incredible power of intercessory prayer and how some people are called specifically to do that in a way that helps pass on the love of God. Mm-hmm. And my Uncle Donnie was an example of that for me.
Yeah. Yeah. That's awesome. Do you think he had an impact on other people in your family?
Oh, yeah.
Do you know? Yeah.
Well, I think we're all who we are in part because of Donnie, like all of us, right? We all impact each other in different ways, good or bad. Mm-hmm. Donnie was one of those very profoundly impactful people. I think because we've seen how desperate his case was and how that moved us to learn to sacrifice more, which was a struggle for me as a teenager because I wanted to think about myself. I didn't want to be hanging out with him. I wanted to go run off and do what I wanted to do. And I look back with regret on that. And I realized I was a kid and I had to just grow through it. But I think it's very fair to say he's had an impact on many, many people.
Yeah. Yeah. So you mentioned that you felt a stirring about being able to talk about intercessory prayer and especially our older parishioners. You actually came to me. We already had a particular feature ready or planned for the bulletin for October, and you came to me and asked if we could change it to to this particular topic. So, and of course, the bishop wins. It's his publication.
Poor Renee.
So, what actually inspired you to want to have us talk about that?
Yeah. So what I experience, certainly as a priest, and it's intensified as a bishop, that the Lord gives me very particular spiritual graces at different times. Mm-hmm. And I never know what they're going to be, when they're going to be. When they come, and with the conviction that they come, I know I need to act on them. And this was one of them. I suspect in part some of the natural things that would have influenced this is just seeing the incredible impact COVID has had on so many people. And the hardship, being sheltered in, being alone, all those sorts of things. And it'd be very easy to focus on those. And I just have this very clear sense that it's an opportunity for us to really focus and put our energies into what we can do and what God's inviting us to do. So whether it's, you know, we're generally healthy, but because of COVID, we could be isolated. What's my purpose now? Well, short term, maybe longer term, but to pray about that. Lord, what role do you want me to have? Mm-hmm. But also, you know, seeing the impact of my Uncle Donnie, and it was beautiful. I was at the fair and I got to meet a little boy who was in a wheelchair. You'll see a picture of that in the bulletin. Mm-hmm. And it just, again, reminded my beautiful Uncle Donnie. And there's just such a beautiful vocation for those who are called to it. We have the Adoration Sisters, the Carmelite Sisters. They have it in a very particular way. But I really sense what the world needs now more than anything else is the spiritual power behind the apostolic works that are done.
Yeah.
And even Thérèse of Lisieux would be a great example. She wanted to be a great missionary. God called her to be behind the convent walls to pray and offer sacrifices, and she became the patroness of missionaries through her intercessory prayer, and continues to bring great blessings, to advocate for great blessings for us here on earth.
Right. So the intercessory prayer is really important for those who pray it. But it's also, what does it do for the rest of us?
So what it does, think of it this way. It's like, in order for us to be able to do certain things, you need certain capacities or certain energies or certain gifts to do it. And we're dealing with spiritual things. It's not something we can create ourselves. So you and I or anybody can use all their human gifts and they can do human things. We can't do spiritual things without the spiritual power. We can't see things, if you will, spiritually. Without having the spiritual gifts to see it. So we need people to plead and ask God for the grace, the blessing we need to intercede on our behalf to help us so we can be disposed to receive the spiritual gifts like my uncle was, both as an intercessor, but also his witness of great mm-hmm. humility. Mm-hmm. And I realized he has what I want.
Yeah.
He has God.
Yeah. So that's interesting. Is there a particular way that we should pray when we're doing intercessory prayer? Is there something you can recommend?
Yeah, great question, is to pray authentically. So I think sometimes what happens, certainly in my own life, there's many different methods of prayer and types of prayer. There's devotions, there's, you know, scripture reading, there's meditation, there's, right? There's all kinds of things. The most important thing is to learn to listen interiorly to the movements of God. And in humility and poverty, ask the Lord, how do you want me to pray? Mm-hmm. Just like the disciples, and Jesus gave an example for them in the Our Father. So even taking the Our Father and just praying over that, and how am I living that out in my day? How am I let your, you know, your will be done? Ooh, Lord, that's the hard part, right?
It is.
Or forgiving others mm-hmm. or whatever it is. We can enter into those places that are harder for us and say, God, I need help with this. And I want to offer the suffering that I have, the struggles to accept whatever I can't change or fix, my circumstances of life or the world or whatever. I want to just choose to accept that and offer that to you as an act of love. And that's my gift to you today.
Yeah.
So in other words, we let what's going on interiorly come up. What's stirring within our heart and our mind? That's why we need to be quiet, in a sense, be in that place, that disposition where we can receive and listen and learn how to listen from the heart, if mm-hmm. you will, the ears of the heart, if I can use that expression, mm-hmm. Which then enables us to start to listen to the voice of God, the promptings of God, an inspiration to be courageous, to be patient, to be humble, to accept what we can't change and fix. And when we live out of that place and intercede on behalf of others, like the things going on in the world, so many of them we can't change on the natural level, but we can influence on the supernatural level.
Okay.
And so our prayers. But so my point is, whatever people, however they like to pray, if that's what they're used to doing and that resonates as the right thing for them, then that's the way to pray.
Okay.
Intercessory prayer. There certainly are, you know, you can pray rosaries and you can pray, you know, novenas. And so there's practicals like that that could mm-hmm. be helpful for people. But the whole point is the intent of the will that this be offered to God as an act of love, interceding on behalf of some need that the church has, the world has, peace in the world, for example, mm-hmm. right? And, you know, finding a spiritual way through COVID.
Right.
And how do we find interior peace in the midst of the turmoil in our culture, in our world, our country? Let's say it's around election time, right? All the things going mm-hmm. on, that we intercede that God bring us interior peace. Help us to be rooted in you, especially those who are most struggling with anxiety and fear and loneliness and all those things. So it doesn't have to be, it can be young and old. We all can pray for these things. Just ask the Lord, how do you want me to pray? Mm-hmm. And to follow the prompting.
Yeah. I like that. That seems easy enough.
It's very easy. Just be yourself in prayer.
Yeah.
Be yourself in prayer. Whatever that is, just be authentic.
Yeah. So a big part of what you're doing or what you're beginning to do is around missionary discipleship. So for those older people, and maybe especially for those if they maybe can get out, what are some other things they can do to be missionary disciples to others in their parish? Do you have a few things they could do?
Yeah. You know, the diocesan vision that came so clear to me is the lifelong. So all of our life, we're being formed and we help form others. Mm-hmm. So look for opportunities where we can help share what's going on in our own prayer life, for example, with others and how God's moving. It can be an inspiration to other people.
Yeah.
So I use the example, what I could observe through my Uncle Donnie, being a witness of we're at peace in the midst of our greatest trials and sufferings of life because God's in us, mm-hmm. right? So certainly it's witness. Certainly it's praying. God, help me to know what it is you want me to do, because often that's our struggle mm-hmm. at different stages of life, right? It's even as a bishop now, it's like, God, how do you want me to do this, right? There's lots of different ways or things to do, but there's one way God wants it done. And unless I'm asking that, I won't know that. Certainly we can offer our prayers, our sacrifices to God. So not only our prayers, but we can do, you know, meaningful ways of fasting. Maybe it's you know, right now, I think it's so easy to keep ourselves preoccupied by having the TV on or the radio on. It's like, no, I'm just going to shut all that out. Part of it shuts the noise out mm-hmm. so I can learn to listen interiorly. Do the things that refresh us. Do the things that are difficult for us, like eating healthily, doing our exercise. We may not feel like exercising, mm-hmm. but it's an act of humility. And we can offer that to God as an act of love. Lord, I want to offer this for a friend of mine who's battling cancer, mm-hmm. you know, asking that you bless them with the spiritual needs they have. God may not bring physical healing, but he can bring spiritual strength.
Right.
There'll be just some ideas.
Okay, good. I like that. And if you can, if you're able to get out and about, get involved in your parish wherever you can.
Involved in your parish. Ask how you can help. Be witnesses to others. Reach out to people.
Especially as a mentor. To younger kids.
Be mentors to younger people, mm-hmm. reach out to people that are home and isolated and just like, oh man, I haven't called them for a while. Pick mm-hmm. up the phone and call. So for us to be outwardly going, that's the whole nature of missionary discipleship, mm-hmm. to go outwardly and to share God's love.
Yeah, yeah. So we have just a couple minutes left, but real quick, the NET team is out and about in our diocese at this point, working with young people, working with adults to be able to work with young people after they're gone. Can you tell us what's your hope for that program?
That came to me again. I was traveling on the road, and the mm-hmm. grace came to me that I think the Lord, we need to pursue if this is an option. And God all of a sudden opened all kinds of doors, and boom, it happened very quickly, mm-hmm. which doesn't often happen, right?
Right?
So the desire I have is that these dear souls are protected from the work of the evil one, mm-hmm. and that the release of the Holy Spirit happens through them as they live God's love, as they get into the homes and be with people, to witness love, to share love, to talk to youth and journey with them in their own struggles and trials, which are so many today. Mm-hmm. It's a very tough culture for the young people to live in. And so my hope is that they're going to be given the spiritual grace, the confidence to walk in the graces of God, and for us to intercede and pray for them, that God's just going to do great things in whatever he wants. And yeah. With just knowing ultimately to help people taste divine love.
Yeah.
That they can receive it themselves, be so in love with the Lord, and they just want to share that beautiful gift. That's what my desire is.
Good, good. I'm really looking forward to see what kind of stuff they do, what kind of work they can accomplish. And we expect big things, right?
We can expect great things because God is a, God handles big things.
Yes, he does. He doesn't waste anything, does he?
Nope. He's got a plan and everything.
Yes, yes. All right, Bishop, can we have a quick blessing
Absolutely.
On our way out?
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
May the blessed Almighty God, the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit descend upon all of you and remain with you forever and ever. Amen.
Thank you for being here today, Bishop.
You're welcome. Richard. God bless you.
Next week, my guest will be Dr. Chris Bergwald to discuss the Pope's new encyclical, which is about human fraternity. Should be a really interesting conversation about a somewhat controversial topic recently. That's it for us today. Hope you'll join us again next week for more Catholic Views.